All right, welcome to New Life Church's Equipping Podcast. Today we have an exciting topic I'm calling Delivery versus Development. And with me today are two people I know have been engaging with this in some form or another over the past semester. And those people are Jack Diven and Veronica Rappin. Can you guys say hello?
I can. Hello.
Hello.
So we're talking about this interesting topic. Those words mean things. I'm wondering if one of you would be up for kicking us off with what does a delivery versus development culture even mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can kick us off. So those words, delivery and development, come from actually a conference that a few of us on staff went to back in November. That's where we first heard about these differences. And really, it's like two different cultures that a ministry can embody or exhibit. It's not necessarily that a group of people will only always be one or the other of them, mm-hmm. only have a delivery culture or only have a development culture. There's going to be elements of both mm-hmm. in every community. A delivery culture is really characterized by a leader in front of a group is tasked with delivering content and programs for people within a group. So we're speaking about churches. So a leader delivers the teaching and the programs and does the things out in front of the people on a stage maybe. And there's this sort of implicit social contract where if the leader provides adequately for me as a participant here in this culture, then I will attend and mm-hmm. continue being here.
Yeah,
that's a delivery culture. Mm-hmm. That's in contrast to a development culture, which is where it's not the leader's job to provide content for a participant mm-hmm. that makes the difference in whether or not they stay. A leader's job in a development culture is to disciple everyday people as they grow, as they learn how to help others grow, and essentially to equip rather than to provide content. A leader's job in a development culture is to equip and disciple and develop so that others feel empowered to go out and do the work mm-hmm. of the group.
Yeah, both of those seem familiar to me. Like, I feel like I can think of examples. I'm curious, Veronica, if you have any, like, examples or things to come to mind of, like, ways that you've experienced, particularly, like, a delivery culture or what that can look like in your own experience or a development culture.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of us have actually experienced the delivery culture probably growing up in church in some capacity. Mm-hmm. I think we might talk about this a little bit later, but I think growing up for me in the church, there was, it felt more of like going to church was to go and receive mm-hmm. And to go, you know, you'd go to youth group or you would go to Sunday service. And I didn't ever really see myself as being one who had the responsibility to be discipling or leading other people. Mm-hmm. I really saw the people who were leaders having the responsibility to give to me. And I would bet that, like I said before, a lot of us have had a similar experience in some capacity in the church. And I think my closest thing to experiencing a development culture was, I don't think we have done it amazingly at New Life, but I think I experienced more coming to New Life and having people who did want to pour into me and disciple me. Mm-hmm. In order to empower me to be able to then go and do that with other people.
Sure.
So I've gotten a taste, I think, of both more delivery culture before New Life and then a taste of development culture here.
Sure. And so as we talk about this and we delineate between the two, I'm curious as to, like, why is this delineation important? Why is this topic important for us to be, like, discussing as the church today?
Yeah, I think what comes to mind for me first is just these words, like, that it's biblical. It's biblical. A development culture is biblical, I guess I should say, mm-hmm. Because that's what Jesus did. He wasn't It wasn't only development culture. He still spoke regularly to crowds. He delivered sermons and content, and he taught.
He healed people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But underneath all of it, he had handpicked a few to develop them, to teach them specifically, to empower them to then go out and to teach others. And so we just see it in the Bible. In fact, I was reading an article recently in a magazine that talked about a church planting movement happening in India, I think. Mm-hmm. No, I can't remember where. India, possibly. And there's just these crazy movements of house churches growing in villages. And this one guy is kind of behind it all, and he's using data to determine which villages don't have a presence of Jesus and where they should send people to evangelize. And then, you know, it was kind of happening under the radar for a long time. And then people came in and were like, this is amazing. All this growth is happening. And they asked these leaders, these local leaders, who taught you how to do this? How did you do this? Mm-hmm. And the like lead guy was just kind of like, what? He just like didn't understand the question. And he just looked at him and they were like, who taught you how to do this? Who you know, developed you or discipled you? Like who are you pulling this from? And the guy just looked at him and was like, we just read the New Testament and do like what Jesus does. he was like so surprised.
That's awesome. Question.
And so, I think it's important because, really people have said there is like almost a crisis, I guess, in the American church of delivery culture where, my mindset when I go to church, average Joe, is I'm here to consume. Mm-hmm. And I'm here to get something from somebody else, and it's their job to do it and not mine. Mm-hmm. And that does not result in changed lives.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm curious, Veronica, if you'd be able to elaborate more on, like, why could that be a problem? Like, why could viewing church and participating in church from a, like, with a delivery lens or that kind of social contract that Jack mentioned, why is that problematic?
Yeah. I think it's mainly problematic because it leads people into dependency. Mm-hmm. And, aside from the reality of what Jack said, that it's not biblical, which I think that's like the first like warning red sign of like, man, we want everything that we're doing to be like following scripture and in line with Jesus and his teachings. And so if we're not seeing the way we like do church and scripture, then we need to like reorient what we're doing and how we're doing church. So that one first. And then, like I said, the dependency that results from when we're in a delivery culture and we're reliant on leaders to be giving us content and caring for us and doing those types of things. It doesn't, like Jack mentioned, that doesn't result in changed lives. It doesn't develop us as disciples. It doesn't really like accomplish the mission that Jesus came for, which in the Great Commission he said, go and make disciples of the nations, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. And, you know, inherent in that is the command to go and make disciples. And so that needs to be like the main thing that we're doing in churches. And a delivery culture just doesn't do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And even when you were talking about the biblical like nature of development or the non-biblical nature of delivery, what I was reminded of are like times in which churches were following particular like super apostles, right? Mm-hmm. They're like, I follow Apollos or I follow Paul. There's even times in Acts where you see, I think it's like Peter and John who are like, don't worship us. Like we get our power from Jesus. Like there's even, in reading a textbook recently, like talking about how certain parts of the Gospels even could put like, are like, calling out the disciples' like weaknesses almost to help not elevate them. Mm-hmm. And so when you have this culture of like following a leader, that gets in the way of following Jesus or, wow, this church is so amazing. This church does everything for me. It has every kind of group that I could want. It cares for me. There's so many people there. They're constantly like pursuing me and I'm getting so much attention and I have all these opportunities and the worship's great and the teaching's great and all this stuff. But then if that church ever lets you down, you can struggle with viewing the church as your savior. And that can be debilitating once you realize it's not, right? Because then you start to question, well, what are the people of God even like? And if the people of God can hurt me in this way, what does that say about God himself?
Yep.
And so I feel like a delivery culture can accidentally lead people into that dependence, that idolatry of the church as savior, which is scary. And then on the flip side, there's the consumeristic mindset, which says, and you touched on this some, Jack, too, it's like, oh, you know, I've heard the phrase church shopping, and I didn't even think about that. When you, like, people listening probably have heard that phrase and probably think, yeah, that's like a thing. Like, you go to a city and then you go church shopping. But that is such an interesting mindset to have of, like, I'm going to find a church that gives me what I want. And you could use that phrase to talk about what it looks like to participate in the body of Christ in a good way, too. But I think there is some kind of nature of that, of, I want a church that checks these boxes for me. And I think that there's a better way of thinking about it in terms of owning your own participation in the church. And we'll talk a little bit more about the ways it could look later. But I'm curious for you two specifically, I had heard your team had engaged with this in some way. Like partway through the semester, I think, Jack, you mentioned this to me, and I was like, oh, this is awesome. I'm just curious how you guys in Hill Central have engaged with this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we haven't done anything groundbreaking on Hill Central, really.
We're trying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you tell me what program you came up with in regard to this so that we could take that and give it to more people?
We watch a video in team every week.
Good.
And it's just kind of, we just consume it and then we go.
And then you just leave. Yeah. Sounds good.
I think the first simple thing we did at the start of the semester is we named this. And we talked about this in our team and we talked about the differences between these two types of cultures and said we're making an intentional shift in a direction. The direction is in development culture. We named that and we've repeated it. We've like come back and reminded people of it a few times, probably less as the semester's gone on. So that was one thing. What else did we do?
I think another thing we did was we broke our team down into smaller groups that would meet more or less like every week together in those same groups in order to start facilitating deeper discipleship throughout the week between like the men and the women and have tried to actually like limit how much like teaching or words come from me or Jack or even just like teaching as much in general on those nights, because we all get like teaching and information from a lot of different things throughout the week.
Especially students, right?
Especially students. Yeah. And so wanting it to be more of a time where like maybe we'll like give questions for them to wrestle with, but really having them be talking to each other and discipling one another in those times rather than sitting and listening or going through something that we've like already planned. I would say we have a long way to go.
Sure.
We're still like learning. And I would not say that our team right now is even a model of maybe even what we should do in the future.
Sure.
But I do think one of the most impactful things that we had done was like explain to people the difference between delivery and development culture and then have them ask themselves the question of how have I been viewing my involvement and participation in the church?
Yeah.
And have I been actually participating in creating this delivery culture or just feeding off of it?
Sure.
And do I actually want to be a part of a discipleship or development culture?
Yeah.
And I think that's a great question because I do think that there's a reality that people will, a lot of us have grown up in the delivery culture. Mm-hmm. And when you talked about church shopping, that when I think students come to college too, they're asking the questions. And if you talk to talk to people and ask them questions about how they made decisions about the churches that they go to, you will certainly hear delivery culture in a lot of people's language. I really agreed with you on that. And I do think that there's a reality that if we shift to a development culture, it's going to look really different. And I think there's going to be a fact that there are going to be people who don't like it and who don't want that. And so I think people making the decision for themselves of like, okay, I feel envisioned and I actually want to be a part of this type of culture is like a good starting point for our team.
And this is hard to do. Like, this is very ingrained into, I feel like, American culture. It's just consumerism and it's just applied to the church and it makes sense. So I think even like for anyone, you know, I've always made my decisions about what church I was going to be a part of probably for similar reasons. And I find myself in getting into, like, if I look back on years of being a part of the church, how often I'm quick to be like, ooh, I didn't really like, you know, what I got out of, or I didn't get very much out of this thing. And so there's this like attitude of criticism, and rather than being like, well, maybe there is something I could go and talk to someone about. Hey, this thing seems off, right? That's me going and being willing to like share and tell them how something affected me. And in a sense, it's like I'm getting a chance to develop them. You know, hey, I think this could be, you know, when you said this, it didn't seem very empathetic, blah, blah, blah. And so I just want to say, I feel like I struggle with this a lot. And it's a paradigm shift. It is, it is a hard thing. I think if we make changes, I will struggle with applying the same mindset of, am I getting something out of this new system or something? So I think for anyone who's hearing this and has had this way of thinking, like, I don't want anyone to like feel particularly bad about that and be like, oh no, it's just hard to get, it's hard to turn away from that and turn towards something else. And so you touched on this, Veronica, a little bit, but like, what are some ways, and you don't have to just answer this, Jack, you too, what are some ways that people could rethink, their participation in church or consider, how they have thought about it, or what actions could people take, in this regard?
I think you just said, you used a phrase a moment ago, Ryan, that I think is a good starting point. Like the question of like, am I getting something good out of this? That mindset going into a service or an event or a time with people. What if instead of asking that question, am I getting something out of this? Did I get something out of that? The question became like, how did that help me be equipped to go into the world as a follower of Jesus and love God and love my neighbor? How did that do it? It could be true that it didn't help you that much. And that's okay. But then the emphasis is on what you're doing with what you got out of it going into the world. As opposed to what the person who delivered you something did wrong or right.
Was I entertained? Was I moved emotionally?
So I think just shifting that question that we ask like internally from one that's essentially self-focused to others-focused. It's it's about seeing others as like more valuable than yourselves. And that's scary, risky, because I think a lot of people, maybe people listening to this even think like, no, there's a reason that other people are the ones in front. It's because they are more qualified or God has gifted them more or whatever that people think. Except for I think that all the time about myself, like about other people. I just, everyone deals with that. And it's just not true that God has only gifted a few people to do the work of leading people into worship and community and mission. That's not true.
And to go along with that, I would argue that the relationships that God has you in with other brothers and sisters in Christ around you makes you the most qualified to speak into their lives and to care for them. And as we go into spaces where church is happening, whether that be a Sunday service or getting, you know, lunch with your small group or with your small group or team, coming into it with, like Jack was saying, not a self-focus, but an others-focused of how can I really love my brothers and sisters in this mm-hmm. space and serve them? And even if what was like what we talked about in team, I feel like the Lord has grown me in or matured me in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not maybe hitting me in a new way, but mm-hmm. who maybe is it hitting in a new way that I can come alongside mm-hmm. and ask sure. more questions and care for them in that.
Sure.
But it really takes an intentional mindset
yeah.
of, I'm not here for me mm-hmm. and I'm not here just for what I can get out of this. Like
yeah.
I have my brothers and sisters in mind, mm-hmm. Around me, and I'm paying attention to them
yeah.
and I'm considering their lives as well.
So. Yeah. That's great.
As far as you asked about action steps too.
Yeah.
I don't have a put together list.
Yeah.
But one thing I just thought of is, taking notes. I mean, like when I go to a movie, I don't take notes because I'm consuming the movie. I'm just taking it all in.
Mm-hmm.
But when I sit down in front of someone who I want to learn from, because I want to be able to put what they're saying into practice in my own life, once their face is not in front of me and they're telling me words,
mm-hmm.
like when I'm in that situation, mm-hmm. I have a notebook or I have an app on my phone and I write things down.
Sure.
So I just think like if that would help people
yeah.
to like have a mindset of like, oh, I'm actually going to do something with this
right.
information later
right.
rather than just sit in this room. Not to say that that's all of our default
right.
mindset. We just like forget the moment we walk out the door what we heard.
I appreciate that idea. And honestly, like I stopped taking notes a long time ago. And I feel what I like about what you just said is, yeah, the idea of I'm going to write something down with the mindset of like, I will have to take this and see, how can I apply this? Like, how can I be faithful to the Lord and like what I've been given? How can I, in that sense, I'm being developed rather than, oh, you're just delivering me a message that hopefully I feel encouraged by. And sometimes that's great. We build each other up in the church too. So it's,
mm-hmm.
that's where it's not like totally one and nothing of the other. But
mm-hmm.
I like that idea of being able to take something away.
Yeah.
So that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
One other thing that I feel like we've like alluded to, but we haven't like said really clearly
mm-hmm.
is, I think when it comes to wanting to change a culture, awareness is a big part of it
yep,
first.
Totally.
And so this might be the first time you're hearing very much about like a delivery versus a development culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first step for you might need to be like just starting to let yourself become aware of how you think about
yeah.
your role in the church
mm-hmm.
or how, I mean, really it's this like current of the American church culture
right. yeah.
and starting to like see the water that's surrounding
yeah.
you so that we can kind of make a sharp turn
mm-hmm.
away from it. And
yeah.
so if that's you and this is kind of the first time you're thinking about it, to just like start with letting yourself take notice and
mm-hmm.
take stock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say like, yeah, in no way is this hopefully coming off as a scathing indictment on the American church and any person or church that like
yeah.
succumbs to this attitude. Rather, it's like, hey, I think this is good correction. I think this
yeah.
is good for us to be aware of and to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Jack, were you about to say something?
I was just going
to
say the last practical action-y thing that we've had in our language lately as a church is engage in the how questions of discipleship.
Yeah. yeah.
Hearing from God and obeying from God
mm-hmm.
and doing it with others. If everyone was doing that
yeah.
genuinely,
yeah.
hearing from the Spirit, those are the building blocks of a development culture.
Totally.
Right.
No, it's not,
totally.
I'm not waiting for one person at the front to hear from God and then
yeah.
to tell me what he said.
Yeah.
We're all doing it.
And encouraging each other to do that.
Yep.
And holding each other accountable to doing that. Cause that's like what it looks like for us to walk, you know, to live out our faith, and sometimes can be easy to get distracted. And so, you know, some of that, what that could look like is just getting together in smaller groups of people to, hey, what if we just spent time like, every once in a while getting together, spend a few minutes in prayer, hearing from God and sharing what we feel like he's leading us to do and seeing if there are ways that we can do that with each other. I think that could be a great way to, great action step. And like you said, Veronica, awareness, just like listen and think about this. Does anything come off as that? And I would encourage you, don't judge
yeah.
like people, but just like notice these rhythms and these currents, because it takes a while to shift culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think like, one thing that comes to mind for me is I would love to see the day that people don't leave a church because they're not getting something out of it, or they want to get something more out of something else. But you said this earlier, Jack, that people would be like, I just need to go somewhere where I can be, where I can develop and be developed like more, where I can be unleashed in discipling others and being discipled more. That vision of leaving, I'm like, bless you. Mm-hmm. If you need to go somewhere else, absolutely. That could be like based on your personality and character. You know, there's so many reasons behind that, but that is encouraging. That's envisioning mm-hmm. to me. And so lastly, just to end, I'm curious for you guys, you know, a little vision of like, what could our church look like? What is like the long-term benefit of if we saw this like paradigm and cultural shift happen?
Yeah. Well, I think we would see people come to know Jesus more, because people would be operating with the marching orders of the Holy Spirit to their lives specifically, and they would go into the world with confidence that, kind of like this all Christians are missionaries kind of a principle. If you believe Matthew 28 and the Great Commission, that we're all called to go, that it's not just those with a formal job title or some sort of ministry leadership hat that are the ones that do that. So I think that's one effect. We would see that in our church.
Yeah, that was a big one I was thinking about. I was thinking of, we talk about living scent often, and that's like the picture that I have of living scent, everyone in the church actually engaging in the Great Commission. And
even that's an example of our church shifting the pendulum so that the balance of delivery and just and development culture is better.
Yeah.
Because we didn't used to do that. We didn't used to end our church service with those words.
Yeah.
And we do. Mm-hmm.
I also see a church that is built up and equipped more by people's giftings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people's giftings will be unleashed and utilized in a development culture more than in a delivery culture.
Yeah.
So I feel excited about that picture.
Yeah.
I think that gets me excited, because I'm not even totally sure I've experienced a community where everyone's giftings have been unleashed before.
Yeah.
And just what that could look like.
Yeah.
I mean, it gives me visions of the Acts 2:42 church and what that was like.
Yeah.
So.
And they didn't have church options then, right?
Yeah.
You know what they had? They had the Holy Spirit. Jesus, like, this is your equipping. I thought about this recently, and I love this. Jesus told the disciples, like, essentially just wait here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're going to go out to all these places, but first wait here. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, then go.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in a sense, having the Holy Spirit, we're all equipped to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one thing that is super envisioning for me is, I imagine like members of the church, their allegiance being to Jesus and not to any group or faction, or way or organization or denomination. I see a more unified church as everyone's being developed to depend on the Lord, to hear from Him, obey Him, do that together, across those boundary lines. And that's really exciting to me. That feels like it would be more so us being the church in this world. And I think we'll end on that. I just want to thank you guys for coming here, being willing to talk and share and give people a chance to listen to, this rhythm, this thing we're engaging with. And I hope for those of you listening, you can keep your ear out and do some personal engagement with this topic for yourselves. I honestly think our church and our campus, we're just going to be engaging with this more and more. So look forward to the chance to talking with you again in the future.